Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Greenlight. As your kids are getting older, some things about parenting get easier. Like what?
You don't have to clean their poop out of their butt.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully. But, Will, you know what is coming up?
What?
Money conversations. And the fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it, and that's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
Freddie, I plan on teaching my son everything he needs to know about money by absolutely destroying him in a game of Monopoly that goes for 10 hours.
Well, maybe put away the Monopoly board and go with the Greenlight app, where you can teach your kid how to learn to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games. That's a game. Yeah, it's got games to teach money skills.
Did it have Wall Street Kid on there? I love
in
Wall Street
fun,
Kid.
Accessible way.
Hate to break it
finally,
to you,
finally, a way to avoid Gen Alpha putting all their money down the skibbity toilet.
The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring GATs customized to your family's needs and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. Did you guys get paid an allowance when you were a kid?
Yep.
What was the
allowance?
I had to mow the lawn.
I had to empty the dishwasher, and then, like, that was it, I think, for...
You had to do, Beth?
You had to mow the lawn.
I had the big lawn, suburbs.
Big
dishwasher.
I just had a lot of chores. It wasn't like one chore. It was like I just had to clean.
My parents had kind of Skinner box thing going on where like I would just do chores and occasionally I would get to buy something. And that was the real way to keep your kid doing those chores.
You had company script
The intermittent reward thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned like a little dog. Yeah.
We go to the mall. Maybe we go to KB Toys. Maybe not.
Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
Sign you up. Tell me there's an easy, convenient way to raise kids?
Financially responsible
kids.
Responsible ones. Sign up for Greenlight today and get the first month free when you go to greenlight.com/dungeons. That's greenlight.com/dungeons to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/dungeons. Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Bespoke Post. This spring, the best box you're going to open up is the Bespoke Post box. The box of awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands from around the world. I just got mine.
You got
today.
Some jams.
I got some jams and jellies. I got a delightful Keen's paste. A chair said I should throw on a quesadilla.
A quesadilla?
With some Keen's paste.
Well, Keen's quesadilla is quite good.
The Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started and be eating like a king like I will be, to get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you.
I got some little sticks. They smelled real good. It was like not incense,
just
but it's
sticks?
Like the little sticks that you put them in the room and they make the room smell good.
Was that the only thing in them?
There was like a little thing that you put the sticks in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a diffuser.
A diffuser. That's what it is. It's the sticks that make your room smell good.
Sticks that make it. What are you talking? It's free to join and they release new items every month. They release new flavored sticks every month across a ton of different categories. When you become a member, you have access to seller discounts across a plethora of products too. We're talking about 30% or more sometimes. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small up-and-coming brand. You're used to this by now. Free to sign up, skip a month, cancel anytime. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code DUNGEONS at checkout. This is such a mystery gift, we don't even know what it is. So tell us what it is. The boxofawesome.com code DUNGEONS for a free mystery
Can I get this mystery gift as a member of the podcast? Do I have to sign up for it?
You're going to have to sign up at Box
of
Awesome.
I never want to know something so bad as what this mystery gift is.
Box of Awesome.
It better not be my jean jacket, Bespoke Post. It better not be everyone's getting a copy of my cool jean jacket that I got from Bespoke Post.
Why is it they made it like the Will Campos edition?
I'm already wearing the Will Campos edition.
Boxofawesome.com, code DUNGEONS.
Dungeons and Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Hi, I'm Ron F. Stampler. People come up to me all the time and they say, Ron, I wish that we had a pin to stick maybe on a fanny pack or a denim jacket or a backpack or maybe just collect to show our appreciation for our favorite podcast. I'm like, what's a podcast? Am I right? Anyways, up until now, I have not been able to help these people at all. But now, everything is changing.
StopMusic.com.
That's right. Here at Ron F. Stampler, Inc., we are selling premium lapel pins. That's pins that you can put anywhere. And they're premium. Call today by going online at www.ron.business. That's B-U-S. It's ron.business. There's no .com with Ron, just business. It's www.ron.business.
Dads don't have to pay a library fine. Made the library break its own book spine. Aaron died with a biography of Kucinich by her side. Blackbirds brought Aaron back to life. Laid the library's eyes down at her feet. Got a tree. Slapped me cause I thought her final words were about we. Broke the van. Broke the van. I thought I heard it say to me myself. Guess there's only one place left to go. Find the purple robes and get our kids. They don't know. Thanks to all these jewels, we all are filthy, stinking rich. Thanks to all these jewels, we all are filthy, stinking rich. Thanks to all these jewels, we all are filthy, stinking rich.
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, sometimes a BDSM podcast, more often than not, Dungeons and Dragons podcast, where we play D&D. This is a podcast about four dads from our world flung into the Forgotten Realms in the quest to rescue their lost sons. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the bard slash rock and roller of the group Rock and Roll Dad. I guess you could even say that's what I'm specced at. And this week's dad fact.
My specs.
This week's dad fact about Glenn Close is this. Despite the popularity and ubiquity of virtual reality goggles, Glenn Close has never put on virtual reality goggles out of principle. Why? That's how mind control starts, everybody. They're just getting us, they're just getting you used to the idea of putting on a thing that covers your eyes and your ears and wraps around your head. That's mind control, and that's the first steps, and we're letting the government do it to us.
Welcome to the desert of the real. Hello, everyone. I'm Henry Oak. I did it again. I'm Will Campos.
Henry Oak. You're dedicated.
Birkenstock rocking, granola crunching, nature hippie druid dad who doesn't wash his hands as often as he should. My dad fact this week, more of a dad observation, really, is that Henry considers himself the Donatello of the dads. He also considers himself the...
What was Donatello's thing? I don't remember.
Leonardo leads, Donatello does machines, Raphael is cool but rude, give me a break, and Michelangelo is a party dude.
Yeah.
So Henry fancies himself the thinking man's dad in the group. I don't know if he's right about that or not. Henry also thinks that he is the Charlotte of the group, if we're going to go Sex and the City archetypes. Like kind of the most innocent, like the most pure, but like also a little uptight. Like, you know, so that's...
I don't know Sex and the City
archetypes. All I know is like, I love that Henry Oak knows Ninja Turtles and Sex and the City.
Hey, man, he's
that's
up on
spread.
Pop culture.
That's
it's good spread. Good coverage.
He encompasses multitudes.
That's it. That's my dad fact. Just so you all know, before the show, Matt didn't have a dad fact. And I was like, don't worry, Matt. I'll go before you and I'll like do a dad fact that'll give you an idea for your dad fact. So I don't know what Matt's got cooking, but maybe he'll let you know which Ninja Turtle Daryl is, because I have some thoughts on that.
My name is Matt Arnold. I play Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who is now a barbarian in the Forgotten Realms. And I mean, he's probably, I would have thought he's the Raphael.
What?
you dumb fuck. No. You stupid
you
idiot.
Daryl was the Raphael.
Wait, is Raphael
dance?
The
every
leader?
Motherfucker wants to be
Leonardo's
Raphael.
Leonardo's the...
Oh, no, Leo. Oh, okay. Leonardo.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you're Leonardo. Leonardo. Yeah.
I didn't really watch Ninja Turtles. That wasn't really my
Raphael
thing.
Was
I
cool.
Watched the original
literally,
movie.
I've literally never seen or know anything about Ninja Turtles.
Oh, then yeah, Glenn's Raphael, and then...
Yeah, you're Mike.
What?
Yeah, you're absolutely Mike.
Glenn is absolutely the Michelangelo. He's the party dude.
Raphael's the worst person in the group, and so is Glenn. And then Michelangelo is like the funny one.
But Michelangelo's also like the party dude
That's
stoner
true.
Archetype too.
That's
they're
fair.
Playing that.
I mean,
I would
Ron is beyond Ninja
Ron
Turtles.
Ron is Casey Jones on meth.
No, isn't Ron truly the one leading us?
That's Ron, true. Ron is Leonardo, but doesn't know it.
My last minute dad fact is 50% of the furniture in the house is built by Daryl Wilson.
Wow. Huge flex.
That's
hard. Yeah, he loves stuff.
Wait, you just mean that he bought it on IKEA and built it?
No. He does not. He is very upset if somebody has in fact, he looks in disdain at all the pieces of furniture. Now, they are often the easiest pieces of furniture to make. And now, the real dad fact is, if he's being honest, 50% is like, if you include the spice rack.
The cutting boards.
And the cutting boards.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, the fact that he, like, did, like, the toilet roll, which is just, like, a doily, you know, like.
A doily?
What do they call it?
Dowel. Dowel is the word you're looking
dowel.
For.
Hey, I'm not Daryl. And, yeah, that's it.
You just play him on the podcast.
Just play him on podcast.
Hi, my name is Beth May, and I play Ron Stampler, emotionally stunted stepfather and rogue. I'm sorry, I was so thrown by the doily comment.
What is a doily?
That's it's
a
like,
word,
it's
right?
Like a
it's
little,
a little,
it's
little
like a
lacy
coaster.
Thing you put shit on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Daryl does. Daryl knows how to do that, too.
50% of the doilies in this
yeah, are sewn by him.
Fun Beth May fact is that I once got so enraged by trying to assemble an IKEA nightstand that I actually, like, wrecked it. Like, destroyed it.
Well, like, you hulked
physically.
Out on it?
Yeah. Anyway, fun fact about Ron. God, I'm glad I didn't believe Will when he's like, well, you can piggyback off of it. Because, like, I just have no context for... I have no Ninja Turtle knowledge because I'm...
Ron is Rocksteady and Bebop.
I don't get that either. I'm drowning. Fun fact about Ron is that in the fourth grade, he got sent to the principal's office for plagiarizing a book report on the adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Heavy duty.
Was it now? How did he plagiarize?
Yeah, how did he plagiarize it?
Oh, like he read the book report out loud and everybody's like, that's not what Ron, like he gets up to the front of the class and he's like, the novel Adventures of Huckleberry Finn is a satirical novel because there is a large number of characters and a lot of events that extend through the extensive novel. And like, I think his teacher was like, no, Ron.
Who did he plagiarize from?
Let's see. How old?
The back of the book.
His buddy Cliff.
His buddy Huckleberry.
His buddy Cliff. his buddy Cliff's and his notes.
I don't get it, Freddie.
Oh, I get it. Wow.
Freddie, say it a few more times. They might like it this time.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get it,
Anthony. Yeah. And then once they get it, they like it. Okay?
Freddie, save that good shit for the podcast, not the intro.
That's true.
I'm Anthony Birch, and I'm your dad. And I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed. So my dad fact, I guess, is I think we mentioned this last episode, and we record these at a different rate than we release them, obviously. But there's a fan cast about Dungeons Daddies called Talking Sons. And I don't know if any of you listened to it.
I haven't been in the car enough.
So I've listened to both episodes so far. And in the last episode, yeah, there's only two so far at the time of recording. And the most recent one was about the episode where Henry farts. And there is a story, somebody says, it is confirmed, it is factually true, that somebody vomited listening to Will's description of a fart.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
I believe it was somebody's wife. They may have been pregnant. I'm not sure. But
I made someone puke?
Yeah. Yeah.
That blood's on your hands.
No.
Oh, my God.
It means now, like, as a writer, I've made someone laugh. Ooh, I've made someone cry. I've made, you know, people hopefully think a little bit. But most importantly, I've made someone barf with
so
my words.
Like, so once you get, like, the sin juice, what's, like,
sin juice?
Once you make that happen from somebody, what's like, the ego?
Oh, is that what... Oh, Jesus.
What's the egot of bodily...
That's what cum is to you? Sin juice?
Oh,
another wild intro from the boys.
What's the egot of bodily fluids? That's what you're trying to get.
Oh, my God.
The old JTBL.
The E is ejaculate.
No way.
The G is gore.
Time to start the podcast.
So, to summarize what happened last episode.
Yeah, baby.
Daddy's got rich.
Daddy's fucking loaded now, baby.
Through a truly bizarre use
We're
of the deck of many
things.
We're
sugar daddies now.
You fought the library. You managed to defeat him, but not before tricking him into pulling from the deck of many things. And the two cards that he pulled were the ones that gave him advantage on persuasion rolls and also a castle somewhere in the world. And then the card that gave him immediately 50,000 gold points worth of gems that fell at his feet.
Anthony, how much money is that in, like, money? In, like, in U.S.
dollars?
We need
to understand
this. I just checked right now.
Yeah,
can
you tell me? Because I would have to look it up.
It's $145 per coin times 50,000. I want... You can't take this back. This happened. We have $7.2 million.
Oh, my God! Are you fucking kidding me?
We have $7,250,000.
Oh my God.
We're rich, motherfucker.
Guys, holy shit. We could buy Peyton a whole school. He could go to the best school because we could buy him the school.
We're new rich, baby, says Glenn.
I am going to suggest that we pool all this money together and invest it whatever this strange world's version is of a low-risk index fund.
We are so rich that we could buy one television, a big screen, and then another television to put next to that television so that when there's commercials, we can watch the other television. And then if there's commercials in that television, we can buy a subscription to channels that don't have any commercials. I've never seen anything like it, guys. I'm really excited about being so wealthy.
Everyone slow down. It's been a crazy battle. We've had a lot of wild shit happen. Aaron O'Neill just died and came back to life. How are you doing, Aaron? Are you okay?
Not fucking great.
Well,
and now you got five ways of this fortune, though. We're giving you a fifth of this fortune.
No, I don't get a fifth. I get fucking half.
Oh, well.
I mean, okay. let's be clear. Okay. Fucking Glenn could have healed me, didn't. And then without explaining what was going on, put the book on me, and then he killed me.
We're a team here. We'll definitely figure out the best way to split this up. But just what would you do with like 10,000 gold?
With 10,000 gold, I would buy a bunch of land and set up a preserve for all of my kids. So we wouldn't have to like fight somebody to have an entire land of our own. It would just be me and my trees and we'd hang out in peace.
Aaron O'Neill, I walk up, I put my hand out.
She puts her hand out.
I shake it. You got yourself a deal. Look at that. You got a whole preserve. You got a whole forest now.
Don't mind if I do. Thank you.
I mean, she at least gets one fifth. We can all agree on that.
Well, no. I mean,
you got outdealed, motherfucker. You got outdealed. Darren Wilson should be a car salesman, bitch. Darren Wilson just sold you a jalopy.
The last deal on the table before we shook hands was I get half.
Oh, I was talking to Henry. I'm just saying, like, of course, at the bare minimum, she can buy a forest preserve. I got to admit, this is very exciting. I did not. We got to find our kids and all this, but I did not expect that we'd come out of this wealthy.
Rich baby!
It's just the idea that the thing that would eventually destroy the dads and tear them asunder would be just a ton of money is insane to me.
Yeah, you thought this was about people rescuing their kids. It's actually like a Simple Plan or any Coen Brothers movie. It's just a bunch of fucking assholes getting rich.
I've heard a good way to split this. I had to deal with this with the estate of one of my ancestors. I think the best thing that we do is that, first off, we should have a fund for like the doodlers. Like a good 10-15% that we use as a group for, you know, travel expenses, all stuff that we're going to need.
Sponsorships,
for finding our
jerseys,
kids.
Big screens.
Yes.
I like the
jersey
mascots.
Idea. Jerseys that fit us, not our kids' jerseys, but our jerseys.
Distributing deals with China.
Well, that gets into then we
and cheerleaders.
All, okay, well, yeah, I mean, you know, pay them a fair wage.
Remember when I said that the deck of many things could ruin this podcast?
What we could do is if we each get a fair share. There's two things, right? A fair share of the money, but also like, you know, these are nice pieces of jewelry. I could, you know, there's one or two in there. I think Carol would like quite a bit. I think we, you know, get a piece of paper out and we each write in order of priority which of the jewels we would like. And then we compare those sheets. And then the first person who like, if I like that diamond ring, can I get this diamond ring? That's all I'm getting at. Do you guys mind?
Okay.
This looks perfect. This looks like the first engagement ring.
Well, real quick, I put my hand on Aaron's shoulder and I say, listen, Aaron, there's a piece of wisdom from our world that I want to impart to you now that you have become fabulously, insanely wealthy like us. There's a difference between being poor and being broke. Broke is temporary. Poor is eternal. That's from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the greatest dad manual on financial planning ever written.
Please tell me you gave Nick Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oh, are you kidding?
Let me guess, he didn't read it, right?
He didn't read it.
I know.
The kids, right? Like, they don't read it. We give them Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Hey, Henry, You give your kids, both of them, rich dad, poor dad, right?
My children learned all the financial lessons they needed to learn from a little book called The Giving Tree, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Just take it, what? Just take and take and take until the thing that you're taking from dies?
It's about generosity and sharing and being... I've never read The Giving Tree. I'm kind of shooting... I'm shooting big game here, guys.
That's certainly what it wants to be about, yeah, that book.
It's about... parasitic romantic relationships.
It's about abuse.
Well, Henry does not know that because Henry skimmed the book. Not, what a nice title. It's a tree.
Ooh,
a tree that gives, giving, and trees. What could go wrong? Everyone, I'd like to remind us that this money is not worth anything if we can't get out of the forgotten realms.
Agreed.
With our sons.
Agreed.
So first things first.
Well, Aaron's like, it's worth stuff here.
Oh, that's
just so you got deposit. Okay, yeah. Aaron, what's the banking situation like in this world?
Well, it depends.
Is there central banking? Is there a gold standard?
No.
Where's the biggest bank?
The biggest bank is probably Neverwinter.
Oh, wait, we can't go to Neverwinter, guys. Do they have other medium-sized branch banks?
I mean, there's Waterdeep. There are other big, like, cities that have banks.
By the way, in my head, I'm just imagining there's just, like, a montage section where it's just like, we go to Neverwinter, we talk to the mayor, we're like, whatever, we'll pay our way out of these debts, and we're just like, they give us the key to the city. We're like, yeah, this was easy. Okay. Money solves all problems.
Can't we just buy our kids back?
One of us want to go to sleep and see if they'll take money.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I could go to sleep and find out. First of all, I do want to settle one thing, which is as the dads trying to get back to the other world, we should pool our resources for now.
Yes.
And if we manage to make it back to the other world, back to our homes, with some money left over, we split it five ways.
I agree.
Four ways, because there's four dads.
Four ways, but we should give some to Aaron now.
What I was going
to
say is, I think Aaron is right that this has more or less been a partnership between two parties. The Erin O'Neill and her tree party and the dad party. So I was just going to say, dad huddle. By the way, this is a sort of
private, closed-door financial conversation.
Private
financial conversation. Private.
All right. Fine.
I'm okay.
Guys, this is just like Shark Tank. I'm very excited.
I'm okay with giving Erin half the money. That's all I'm going to say.
I think half is, it's a lot of money. She does not need half of it.
And she didn't even invite us to the tree party.
I will say this. We were the entrepreneurs, Ron, I know you know that word, that competed, risked our lives for this deck, which enabled us to get this money in the first place. So
she burned our books. She almost, I'm not saying she didn't do a lot of work. I'm just saying, I'm trying to figure out why she deserves half.
I don't care.
I think we need to renegotiate and start with 20-80 and we'll settle on a 60-40.
Well,
doesn't work because Anthony can hear me.
Do we all, how about 25%? Do you guys all think 25% is fair?
Ron, you seem like you had something to say.
Yeah, I have something to say. Is that now that we have money, we're not entrepreneurs anymore. I know a lot about entrepreneurship.
Wait, what?
Well, like when you're an entrepreneur, you don't have money.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, you're right. Yeah, like once you get a lot of money, you're now a business person.
You know, the real way to do this, I've heard, is we could become VCs. Very cool.
Oh.
Ron, you know
and
what?
Invest in other companies.
Tell me more.
Ron, you're a businessman.
I am a businessman.
I think, you know what would be great? And I don't know everything, but I've watched quite a bit of Shark Tank. I think it'd be good if, let's give Erin a good amount, but like maybe make some of it like a loan, like an investment that we're making in like, you know, her forest or whatever it is that she's doing. So why don't you, maybe you should negotiate with Erin. And I'd say, okay. You know, I would prefer not to give her half. I think there's a lot of stuff we could do with it. We're still trying to find our kids. And frankly, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think it's just what's fair is fair. And I don't think she did half
as
the work.
Henry thinks the other dads are being pretty greedy right now. So Henry's okay with...
I'm a sharp negotiator.
I agree, Ron. I'm absolutely happy with Ron negotiating the split.
I'm a big boy businessman.
You sure are.
Okay, Erin.
Is this money really going to drive us apart?
The other dads and I were just... The sharks and I were discussing... And we're not going to be easy negotiators. We're not going to just roll over. That's not smart business. And I'm all the way that I became a businessman is practicing smart business.
50-50 and I'll tow your car back to Rocaporte.
Yeah, okay. And then Ron turns back to the dads and like does the hand swipe thing like and be like, that's how it's done. No easy passes, no free meals here.
Well, I've never asked what is your business? I lean over to Glenn. I'm like, I don't think Ron. You know,
as Rich Dad Poor Dad says, love of money is the root of all evil. Eh? Lack of money is the root of all evil.
I was just trying to be fair, but okay.
No, it's a perfectly valid question, and I'm a businessman.
All right, Aaron. Well, you heard what it's up to you. If you really think it's fair that you got 50%, as Ron said.
I died. I do feel pretty good about that. Yeah, this is the second time I've died, by the way, and it gets harder for me to come back every time.
Okay.
The rolls get higher, as we say.
I don't know your truth. That's what you said. I just want everybody to be, they say good negotiation is nobody's happy, and, Daryl's not very happy now, but that's okay.
Not very happy either.
How can you guys not be happy? 2 minutes ago, we had no money. Now we have 25,000 gold. I'd say that's pretty darn great.
Aaron goes, as far as I'm concerned, this is great. We've come to the best possible parting of the ways. I'm leaving rich. You're leaving rich. You know exactly where to go to get your kids back. And for the love of God, be careful. Please really do be careful, honestly. We've had some scrapes, us. I've never quite been sure if I like you or not. I kind of feel like I mostly don't, but I respect you.
I mean, we just gave you $3 million, so I think you might like us.
I just earned $3 million and you earned $3 million. I mean, this is a partnership. Yeah. Let's be fair.
Now we can afford to be careful. We can buy knee pads.
You're right. We could buy a lot of stuff to help us. We could get buff.
I mean, I'm already...
No, I mean, added
Ron
armor.
Flexes.
Like armor. Even when somebody's buff, they can get stronger with big mech armor.
Oh my God, that's right.
Like CERN.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Aaron. Maybe we can consider this, maybe you can give us a little bit of
financial advice.
Consulting on what we should do with our money.
Sure.
No fee, though.
Out of character, Anthony, I'm very sorry for whatever you had planned this episode.
Honestly, I was so cynical about this. I was like, they're going to argue about the money for about 40 minutes. I have very minimal notes.
Touche. If you had our means and you wanted to go, so it's this Castle Ravenloft place, right? And these guys in Castle Ravenloft, how would you invest that money in a Rescue Our Kids heavy portfolio?
Henry, as a businessman, I can tell you that when you have money, it's not about spending money or even how you spend money or even how much money you have. It's just that you have money and then you don't need to worry about anything else. Because instead of a person who's like a stepdad or a regular dad or any, you're not any of those things now. You're just a person with money. And that means you've made it.
Well, I don't think I'm going to feel like I've made it until I've made it back home with my children. So
here.
I just don't want this money to change me because...
Ron, I feel like it kind of already is.
Well, didn't you just say you're not a stepdad anymore? You're a person. You literally just said that it changed
Ron, what's your kid's name?
Terry Jr.
Okay.
All right. Whoa. There's that.
How much money is Terry worth?
Well, I don't think he's worth money at all.
How much money would you give to get Terry Jr. back?
Well, I wouldn't give any money because I've never spent money. I just don't know what things cost or whatever. I'd give anything, but
Well, right now we have a lot of money, which could buy us a lot of things that could maybe help us get our kids back.
How much could one kid possibly cost? $10?
So Aaron says, all right, well, so if the wizards that took your kids, if there are wizards, if they're as powerful as I think they are.
Those are the wizards from the coast, right?
Yeah. If the coastal wizards who took your kids, I mean, you have a lot, that's a lot of money. You could hire a bunch of mercenaries. You could basically build a small army with that money. You could build realizing these things are true as a DM as I'm saying them. You could build trebuchets. You could
mercenaries would cost about 10 gold pieces.
Are you serious? That's how much they cost
per person, or a crossbowman would be 15 pieces if you look at Dungeons and Dragons, or maybe even an elven longbowman would be 20 gold pieces.
Guys, this is exhausting. It's almost like money just complicates things.
There's a saying we have in the Forgotten Realms, which is more money, more problems.
Yeah, but no money, most problems.
So with 25,000 pieces, we could hire 250 mercenaries.
Wait, what?
We could hire 250 mercenaries.
I think you just said it took cost 10 gold pieces.
Yeah.
So 25,000
gold. Oh my God, we could hire 2,500 mercenaries.
Well, march on Castle Ravenloft.
You have 12,500.
Okay, so sorry.
Wait, it was 50,000.
No, 50,000.
Oh, you're right, it was. Yeah, you have 20. Oh my God. Oh my God. God damn it. Fucking deck of many things. Fuck my ass.
Oh,
no.
My gosh.
No.
So we could have... It costs 30 gold pieces per month.
I wanted the podcast to go longer than this.
It's 30 pieces per month, according to this, for me Googling it.
Okay. We'll ignore for the second that there's no possible way Daryl would know. The price
Aaron would know the price of these things. Aaron, so Aaron is telling you all these things that you're currently Googling, but it's very fun for you to know this and me not. So go ahead and keep saying things.
We may be able to kill two birds with one. Hey, Henry, is there like a less... you would say problematic version of kill two birds with one stone. I'm just trying to be more sensitive to you.
I would say maybe, free two birds with one key.
Okay, so we
assuming that they're not birds that have been raised as pets and that they're birds that were in the wild and were caught recently enough to not become domesticated.
So we could kill two.
The phrase would be free two wild birds that have been recently caught but are not domesticated, that are in a cage with one key, and then you let them out and then you let them back into their natural habitat.
Okay, so we could try to solve two things at once. if maybe those cops that are coming after us, cops can be bribed. You ever gone down to Tijuana? For some fun
Have you ever
buddies.
Gone down to Tijuana?
No, you probably have. I've heard about it. I just figure I've heard the stories that you bribe cops, right? Glenn, you've been there. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
Can I call my wife?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing to do but look at all this money. So
while Ron calls his wife, we'll load up the money into
the loading up the money.
Nice. 18. So I dial up Samantha.
All right.
Hey, Ron.
Hi, babe. I know I don't really normally call you babe, but I am just
I was like, ooh, I'm like a character from a movie or something.
A lot of things have just changed in me recently. I'm going to be straight with you. We've had really bad luck here sort of finding the kids and stuff like that, but we're still looking. We're looking really hard, and I actually
bonded. We know where
bonded.
They are, Ron.
Yeah, we know where they are.
We're going to get them.
Don't listen on the conversation, man.
He's talking over there.
Samantha, we're going to get them. And you know what? I had a nice bonding moment with Terry before he vanished again.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I just have a question. Honey, could you check my email inbox? The password for it is Ron. That's it.
She goes,
okay, yeah, I've got it up. Yep. Oh, wow, you have so many unread emails.
I remember before I left, I got this email from this heiress, and she was asking for some money, and I just wanted to let you know that I've actually come into quite a bit of cash, and honey, I don't know what to do with it.
Do you want me to respond to her?
Well, I've never, like,
actually... She sounds very, like, in a very bad situation.
Yeah. Okay.
In Nigeria, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay. Let's just give her, because, money-wise, they're just never really, like...
I mean, I've got my 401k. I could, if this is something that really matters to you.
Guys,
Samantha.
I yelled at Glenn, but I've been listening, too. I think we should say something.
Yeah, I think we should say something. Hi.
Samantha, wait. What's a 401k?
I flagged down Ron.
Sorry. What's up, Henry?
Hey, hi.
I'm going to put Samantha on speaker. This is my wife, everybody.
Oh, hi, Samantha.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. It's me, Samantha.
So there is this scam that's called the Nigerian prince or princess scam, where someone emails you from Nigeria and they're like, hey, I need help with money. If you give me some money, I can give you a bunch of money. And it's like kind of like a well-known scam. So I just want you to be really careful about anything like that. Like, it sounds really fishy, this email. So I would just, I know we're focused on the kids 100%, but I wouldn't cash in your 401k, and I would be really careful about that situation.
Okay, actually, yeah, Samantha, I know just who to call about this. And so I'll think about it and then I'll call you back later when I can, because service isn't great here, but I want to bathe you in riches, and we've got a lot of riches here, but
I bathe you. If you stink, I just like doing it.
No, yeah.
Take that off speakerphone now, Ron.
Oh, no! I'm so embarrassed!
Don't be embarrassed, because they all know that I love you, and that they all know that you're very, very hot.
I like it when you call me hot. Very, I'm more than that, but I also am that.
Yeah, you're so much more than that. And anyway, so I will call. I've got this good friend named Mr. Likely, and I'm going to call him and see where to invest my money. all right, I'm gonna find our son soon. I love you. Bye.
Bye. Love you.
I would like to make another phone call. Right. Oh my God.
You're definitely going to need to put this one on speaker, Ron.
Roll above a four.
Okay. 11. Yeah, okay. I don't know how we have his number, though.
He called us. Yeah, so I guess
yeah,
we could,
yeah, you have him in your contacts.
I shared his contact on AirDrop with you.
Hello, Mr. Likely?
Don't trust anything you hear or see. You're calling Scam Likely.
That's funny.
What is it, Ron?
Hey, just so you know, we're all on here. Hi.
Yeah, you're on speakerphone.
You're on speaker. Yeah, why don't you just let people know when they're on speaker?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, how very polite of you. I never let people know when they're on speaker. They're such amusing japes.
Daryl, how much money do we have exactly?
So we have... Hi, Mr. Likely. We have about...
Guys. Oh, yeah, One moment, Mr. Scam Likely.
Oh, of course.
I come into the dad huddle with the phone.
No, Ron.
I reach over and press mute on Ron's phone.
Should we be telling Scam Likely, who's like a big scam guy, like that we have all this money?
Yes. Right? Very smart, Henry. Maybe say like we have like 100 gold pieces, just to kind of see what he... Like a lot. That this seems like a lot without like letting him know that we are rich.
Why are we on the phone with Scam Likely, you guys?
You know, I'm thinking about my family here. I want to know like what the best scam to pull is.
Good. Tell them that we have 100 gold.
Yeah, let's do it.
For sure.
Mr. Likely.
Yes?
I take it off mute. We have just 100 gold, and we're wondering how to
Matt's just thumbs up Beth from across the room.
We're wondering whether that's a good scam to have to
have 100 gold?
Well, it's because
No, that's not really a scam.
Well, also, roll deception.
Okay.
Because you're lying about how much money you have.
Okay. A 13.
Okay. Yeah, he believes you.
Okay.
You call me over 100 gold. Okay. Well, luckily for you, you could enlist in my Scammers Academy, where I teach you all the secrets of scamming. I take you from zero to hero.
That actually might be great because apparently my wife Samantha and I are getting scammed by somebody and we want to scam them back because we've got a lot of money now.
Ooh, the mushroomed counter scam. Yeah. All scams.
Yeah, and I mean, I figured if like I could make you believe that we only had 100 gold, like the sky's the limit.
Oh, so how much did you actually have?
Hang up, Ron.
I hang up.
Okay, so let's I don't know what the next step is on this journey.
We need to get this money into a bank. We can't just have loose money in these.
Yeah, we put the gems, just to clarify. I think we put all the jewels like in the spare tire slot underneath the...
Yeah, you know, we're hiding it from
you.
Yeah,
it's hidden. Like underneath the floor of the back of the minivan. So it ain't just laying around.
Okay.
So, okay, dads, sometimes my life gets a little overwhelming and it seems like there's a zillion different things to do and I get stressed out trying to make decisions. So what I'm going to suggest is that we come up with a to-do list to figure out what our number one priority is right now. Number one priority is get the kids back.
That's the number one priority.
We all agree.
I agree.
And then we can have a conversation about how to do that, right? Number two seems like figure out
how to get back home.
How to get back home. Right. Thanks, Glenn.
I got it right.
Thanks, Glenn. Hey, way to go, buddy. How to get back home.
Big day for you.
I know. It's pretty cool, man.
Number three, we can say, like, we have some, you know, I play some of these, you know, like I see the boys play these video games where they go all over the place in the different worlds and they have these things called side quests. So I feel like I'm going to put number three, miscellaneous side quests. You know, you're setting up orphanages, giving money to paid in, et cetera, right?
Well, in video games, though, you do the side quests before you beat the game.
Okay, but
I don't know if you heard about this before. I can't remember if I actually told you about this before, but that pyramid that dropped, there's like a mean, bad thing in it, and people keep trying to go in to kill it, and nobody can, and apparently there's a bunch of treasure in there. So that's a thing.
Well, that sounds interesting. Okay, that can be one of the side quests.
That's maybe one of them.
But if there's more treasure, that just seems exhausting.
Yeah, we have a lot of treasure already.
Seems like almost anything you could do in this game is now obviated by your incredible riches.
It just seems weird that we're having this discussion sitting in this field with a dead body, as in, like, we could just go...
I want to loot the library.
Ooh. Okay, so the library
just disappeared while we were talking.
Yeah,
basically,
I slowly despawned it to save memory in the level. As you touch its body, it bursts into flames. It and the backpack full of books that were sort of like he'd receded into his body so that he'd wear the Odyssey like a hermit crab shell. So you basically get the next 15 seconds after I finish this sentence to tell me the name of one book that you can save from the fire that is consuming the library's backpack.
The Wizards of Rogueport.
Okay.
The Wizards of Ravenloft.
I like that, or something about different dimensions, different worlds.
Here we go. Countdown starts now.
How to jump through between interdimensions, the book by and an autobiography of the Wizards of Ravenloft.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay.
I bet you guys thought I was going to say Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Ron okay. hasn't read it.
So you reach into the fire and you grab that book, that extremely specific book, and now you have that.
How long is that book?
It's not very long. It's like pamphlet sized.
Okay. I hop in the front of the car and say, hey guys, why don't we go ahead and go hang out and talk about all this over where Peyton is, and then we can figure out what our next steps are.
Okay.
You don't want to
go. All right, let's just go. Let's go. Okay. Henry's tired of talking.
Aaron goes like, cool. So I guess this is probably where I leave you.
For now, Aaron.
This is where you leave us.
Yes!
She goes, you know what? I liked that. That was good. That was fun. Nice.
Thanks, Aaron.
I feel like the number of times we've forgotten Aaron maybe should deserve 50%. I
was there when it mattered, you know? But yeah, I guess I'll see you around. If you need to get in contact with me, just like whisper to a tree and it'll get back to me.
Maybe, or does that work?
No, it works.
Okay, well, thanks. Cool. Yeah.
Trees are chatty bitches. They gossip a lot, so it'll get back to me if you need it. But yeah, I mean, I guess good luck finding your kids, and really do honestly be careful with whoever has them, because if they have the kind of magic I think they do, it could get really bad really quickly.
That's the problem with trees. All bark, no bite.
I like that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. That's the note I'm leaving on, huh? Bye.
And with that, Aaron O'Neill vanishes into the wind.
Yeah,
guys, I don't think Aaron likes me.
No, she definitely doesn't, Glenn.
That's all right.
Aaron calls some trees over. They lift up the broken Odyssey, which, remember, the rear axle snapped, and they basically just carry you to Rocaporta. It's essentially no issue. Well, I'll roll on the fucking encounter table. Okay, yeah. No bandits attack trying to get your ill-gotten gains.
Hey, Henry.
Yes.
This is like a really green way of traveling, right?
It is.
Like,
I'm actually really liking it. It's, you know, low footprint, other than the huge footprints in the ground that all the trees are making.
You know what's the best part about somebody else driving is you can check your phone while you're driving. And I go ahead and I finally look at what that text was from.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the text that you received after you had gotten the butt dial from Carol, where you heard that she was considering divorcing you, and then it realized that, oh shit, her phone was on and that you heard all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you hadn't checked it all this time. You check it now and it says, I'm so sorry. That was an accident. I didn't mean for you to hear those things. I'm sorry I've been the way that I've been. A lot of stuff has been going on. I've been trying to think about things. We should talk when you get back. I love you.
Were there any emojis?
No.
Yeah, there's eggplant, winky face.
There's the eggplant, and then there's an X over the eggplant.
Daryl responds with the eggplant, winky face. No, Daryl responds with,
Sorry, I just got this.
Daryl responds with, a lot's going on here too, and I know a lot's been going on between us. We will talk when I get back, and I'll let you know what's going on with Grant. Love you very much.
Do we all get a long rest? Do we get a long rest?
Oh, let's just say that you show up in Rocaporta when it's about midnight, and you just sleep the rest of the night off.
Wait, is Peyton asleep then?
Yeah.
I go running in. I go, Peyton! Peyton! Wake up, little buddy!
So you run into Walter the Immoral's house. Do we just beat down the door?
Well, this guy has a door.
Anthony ellipsed us into, we were sleeping in the house, so I figured that
you were in the car, in the van, I assumed.
Oh, yeah, sure, I knock on the door.
Okay, so,
I'm really excited to see Peyton.
So you hear the plap, plap, plap of Bullywog's webbed feet coming to the door, and then Walter the Immoral opens up and goes, what's going on? Oh, hey, man.
Hey, we just need a place to sleep, and we're gonna do some work here before we go out and do some stuff. Hey, where's the little guy?
He's in his room. He's sleeping. Like I was.
Oh, I'm sorry for waking you up.
Oh, it's okay, I guess.
I guess we should let Peyton sleep. We can see him in the morning.
We'll pay you for your difficulties.
I mean, I don't have any other beds. It's just this one and the one.
We'll pay you for your troubles, sir.
If you want to sleep on the floor, I could get some sheets or a comfortable or something.
I love this voice so much.
This voice is so good. I could listen to this voice for hours.
You guys all want to just
You come in. Everybody come in.
Yeah, we'll come in. Let's just take a sleep and then we'll wake up and see what's up.
Glenn's already asleep in the van.
Okay.
I sleep on the floor outside Peter's room.
God. Oh my gosh.
God. Somewhere Grant is like, Jesus Christ. I don't know why, but I feel real weird right now.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall.
Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Etsy.
Ooh.
Etsy.
Let's
Etsy
see what,
what's
Etsy,
in store
yeah.
today.
Listen up, listeners. We're here to tell you there's no reason to panic next time you're looking for a perfect gift. Now.
There isn't. Oh, thank God.
Now.
Oh, I can relax.
You ready for this? Gift mode on Etsy. Gift mode on Etsy.
I'm always in gift mode.
Stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone on any occasion. Just tap or click gift mode on the Etsy app or Etsy.com. Answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And then gift mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas. Check it out. Check it out. I'm here. I'm right here. I'm right here on the site. Check
okay.
it out.
Okay. Let's find
right,
a gift
let's
for
go.
My
let's
dad.
Find a gift for Beth right now.
Okay,
for my
Beth?
Dad.
His interests are like not Beth.
Yeah.
Beth, would you say that that's an Aquarius?
A Libra.
There's grooming gift boxes. Now, hold on. I know what you're thinking.
Keep your dad hairless. No. Keep this daddy nice and smooth.
For a smooth daddy. They just pre-categorize a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of camo hats on this page, let
Dude,
me tell you.
Okay, but those hats all say dad, and my dad doesn't want to do that.
But what about dada?
Now find a gift for me, because I'm sad.
Oh, wait, Beth, yeah.
What does Beth want?
What does Beth want?
A dad.
Beth!
The one thing Beth, Etsy
you sound like
give.
A 90s kid.
Yep, that's me.
Handmade shrines, you said? Gift tape, mixtape gifts? 90s sweatshirts and tees. Tons of stuff. If you need to find the perfect gift, don't panic. Try gift mode on Etsy now. Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Hims.
Oh, is that the one you use?
Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch.
Emphasis on cum.
Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options.
How do they know about my cum fort?
ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple, 100% online, no uncomfortable doctor's visits. You answer a series of questions on their site and the
Why
medical
provider.
Why does that
have to be provider. Uncomfortable with your doctor?
Because my doctor's always like,
Why do
what?
You need ED pills?
What's wrong with your dick? They shout at me.
Oh, does somebody's dick not work? Doctors
hard.
Are like that all the time.
Yeah,
no,
they
yeah.
just yell at me. They scream, get hard, and it is the only thing that gets me hard. So how does Hims help with that?
Answer a series of questions on their site, including, Matt, you'll probably use the long response option to sort of describe all of your things going on. And a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance needed. You'll love this line, everybody. If ED is getting you down.
Aww.
It's time you join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers to get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/daddies. That's hims.com/daddies for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/daddies. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Morning comes, dawn breaks, and you feel a door hit you in the back. It's Peyton, and he goes, oh, geez, what's in the way of the...
Oh, hey, man.
Hey, what's up, champ? I kind of punch him in the shoulder, like a little soft punch. How's it going?
Ow.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
That's fine. What are you doing?
Well, we came and we fought a bunch of guys, and...
Did you fight your kid?
I did. I mean, we
he
kind of expected...
Again?
Yeah, like everybody else.
Shit.
So we're kind of laying down here to figure out... We came into a lot of money.
Buddy, what'd you do?
We killed the library.
Oh.
Yeah, we came into a lot of money because Henry here pulled... Henry, wake up, man.
Huh? Are we... What are we doing
I'm
again?
Telling, I'm telling...
Where was Henry?
Henry.
Matt, do you just want to do the podcast by yourself? What is going on?
Did you all fall... Okay, so
I guess we all came in and fell asleep next to the door with Matt, I guess.
No, I want to be clear. Matt's the only one in this
I'm not
place.
Here.
Oh, wait, no, where are you?
No, I think that Ron went in and like slept like kind of next to Walter.
Yeah, basic yes and. It's, it's a big room. I figure the...
So you slept on the bed next to Walter?
So
he set up like a bunch of comforters on the ground, and then after he fell asleep, you crawled into bed with him?
Ron, stealth roll.
I got a 13 plus 8, yeah.
So as Daryl and Payne are talking, Walter wakes up with, what the fuck?
No, what I think was like, I tried to wake him up in the night like, Walter, what do you think happens after we die?
Without thinking about it, because he was married, like his muscle memory takes over. He's like, honey, we'll talk about it. And then he wakes up and he sees you. He's like, what the fuck?
Walter, what do you think happens?
Oh, well, I was just going to tell you about Henry's cool move, but I guess he's not here, so he can tell you when he comes in, and we were just going to plan our next steps, and I figured it'd be nice to do it here rather than just like in a big old empty field.
Well, I'm glad you came back. I made some stuff for you. Hey, let's check. Let me show you.
Because you're a blacksmith, so I figured it might be useful.
Well, I mean, I'm a blacksmith's apprentice, not a full-fledged blacksmith yet, but I'm trying. I feel like I'm making pretty good progress, and then if you look over at Walter, he's like shaking his head. No, he's not. Peyton makes you guys porridge with Walter. And they bring it out to the van, and they knock on the window, and
Henry wakes up after an unsuccessful night of trying to pass the retainer in bear form.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Walter's like, hey, we may do some breakfast if you want to eat. Will you come inside?
Oh, all right, all
sure.
Right.
That sounds great. I could eat.
While Walter is passing you porridge and spoons and stuff like that, Peyton leads you to the little forge, little blacksmithery that's connected to Walter's house, and he goes, okay, so. What I did was,
Is this Peyton?
Shit. Okay, so what I did was...
Peyton, you're picking up some of Walter's speech patterns.
So Peyton's like, what I did was, I made versions of, like, the weapons that you guys used, but I made them better.
Oh, wow.
I made them rowdier. I made them crazier. So if you want to, Peyton offers you weapons that are identical to the ones that you're currently using, except instead of plus whatever for their attack, they're minus one. But... if they hit, they already do double damage. And if you crit with them, they do quadruple damage.
Peyton, will these spiked nunchucks do double damage to my nuts?
Oh, you bet they will.
I nod solemnly and grab them.
So they're basically, they look a lot like your weapons, but they're more like metal. Like they've got spiky shit all over them and stuff. And they look very amateur.
Peyton,
so
how
like
did you get all this broken glass on the end of these nunchucks?
I've been practiced, man. It took a while.
Walter, is this a skill like a blacksmith skill?
Absolutely.
That just glued
I was several times told him do not do that. And he still managed to do it. So I don't know. They make him happy. So
I'm calling these Peyton Chucks in my thing here.
I grab the axe. I go, hey, did you name these weapons? What is this bad boy named?
Well, I figured you could name them.
Is this Peyton or I was asking Peyton?
Oh, I keep forgetting the voice. They're so close. Okay. So Peyton goes, I didn't name them, but I figured you could because like the person who like wields the sword gets to name it. I always feel like, but it's, I mean.
You know what, Peyton? This multi-tool that's really rusty and has a couple nails sticking out of it is super pretty. And I'm going to name it the Thanks Peyton. I like this gift.
Great. Yeah.
How much?
How much what? How much did I make? I made 4 of them, and I gave them to you.
How much you're asking for?
That is a gift. This is a gift. You got me out of bullywugs, and now into the hand of a bullywug. And
I don't think you understand. We are very wealthy now.
I'm cool. Great.
Very wealthy.
I mean, it's not about money, baby. I live that blood money life. I fought in the unfortunate foster children tournaments, and the people who fought for money, they were the ones who went down the quickest. People
what
fought
do you mean
for the thrill of the fight.
Money.
Those are the ones that stayed in the longest.
Huh.
Listen, everything I've ever learned in my life is that it's about money.
I mean, okay. Whatever. It's your truth, man. Whatever gets you there.
I want to ask if Peyton has any business card weapons.
Peyton says, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's your signature weapon. So I made these babies. And he gives you a couple of metal business cards that have sharpened edges. They have like Ron Stampler chiseled into them by hand.
Well, could you put Peyton on them? Because, like, you know, they're your business cards. I'm just wielding them.
Okay. You sure? It's not going to help your brand.
No, I mean, I'll help your brand. I just want your name on the cards, kiddo.
Cool. Awesome. And so he takes a chisel and he chisels his name into all of them.
Right. My name is Ron F. Stampler Peyton, the 4th Esquire.
I take a Sharpie and I write my name on the blade. And I say, hey, Peyton, this is why I named it. And I turn around and it's Payden, but spelled Payden. And it's like big lightning bolts coming out.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. Shit yeah. Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Payden.
And Walter's like, again with the language, please. I've tried so hard to make him stop cursing, and he loves the curse.
Hey, Walter.
Yeah, we'll tell him.
You deal with weapons, so certainly you know where the best cell swords are in this realm, yeah? Where would we go if we wanted to hire an army of mercenaries?
Well, the cheapest ones are in Meadowshade.
We don't need the cheapest ones.
The most loyal ones are in Neverwinter.
Oh, is loyalty a problem with mercenaries here?
It can be after a period of time. Basically, they could just decide if you pay them well enough, they'll just fuck off before. Oh, now I'm doing it. I'm going.
We look to the side, and there's a swear jar, and it's overflowing.
Okay, so there was a place called Dire Frats.
Dire Frats.
Yeah, that was sent in by Eileen Klaus. Thank you for that name. You wanted to be a character, but sorry, it's a good name for
Dire
a
Frats
place.
Is a really good like name that. For a place. Yep. It's like the college town. It's a bunch of fucking...
A bunch of Chads. It's probably where fucking Yeet Bigley was born.
Dire Frats.
Dire Frats. There's another one. Paul Cavassier submitted this. There's a small village called Don Cheadle that...
It has a lot of really good soldiers for it.
Named that's after the Don who owned the place.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Cheadle founded that town.
I see.
He was sort of belonged to a crime family, hence the Don. And so he has some of the most brutal mercenaries that you can hire.
Do you think any of them, you've all seen Indiana Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want is like, because the four of us are pretty, we're all for Indiana Jones at this point. We're doing pretty good dads. So I feel like what I don't want is for us to be right there and then they turn around because they're scared. So like, we're going to, where are we going again? Henry?
We're going to Castle Ravenloft to save our children.
Yes. So, again, I'm very excited. Yeah, well, yeah, to Henry. I'm very excited about saving. So I want to make sure that the mercenaries, so do you think there are mercenaries that would turn away from going to Ravenloft?
Oh, man, yeah. Unless you went for the pretty expensive ones, there's a lot of... No, that's good, yeah.
Don't go cheap.
If you don't get what you pay for. You're going to Ravenloft? Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's in Barovia. That sucks.
Why does Barovia suck?
Well, Barovia sucks because there was this guy, Strahd, this vampire, and he sort of took it over, and a lot of bad stuff happened, and then somebody killed Strahd, I assume whoever the heck has your kids. So that entire place is still kind of cloaked in, like, permanent darkness and cold and shadow and stuff. It's bad. And Payton's saying, right. So, yeah, there was something I wanted to give you, Daryl, something that was going to help with that. Ah, crap, I can't fight it. Shit.
It's always the last place you look for it.
Yeah, no, I'll find it later. Sorry.
Do you remember what it was?
No, it's a surprise. I don't want to ruin it.
A surprise?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. Well, now I'll be surprised. You'll still be surprised when you give it to me.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's find out.
We still have that charm that we won, right? That like
yes, you
disguises
do.
Things?
Yes, it keeps you basically invisible from like divination magic that's trying to find where you are.
Okay, so we definitely have hung that as like fuzzy dice on the minivan.
Yeah, the amulet or whatever.
Right.
I will throw one thing out just as a cautionary note, my fellow dads, which is, you know, I remember this one time I wanted to get a really fancy gift for Mercedes O'Garcia. Like I wanted to get her a fancy new watch. And I went to what I thought was a reputable watch dealer, flashing my cash around. Next thing I know, I got sold a bootleg watch and I got ripped off and I was out all my money. As they say, a fool and his money often soon separated. I can't remember exactly how that phrase goes. So I do worry a little bit about the four of us with a big bundle of cash marching up to like a group of heavily armed people that are professional warriors and like, you know, getting robbed or something like that. Do they have bonded mercenaries in this world? Is there like a Craigslist sort of...
Yeah.
Not a Craigslist. That would be the exact opposite of what I want.
Yeah, we don't want the Craigslist situation, you know.
That's if you want to get cummed
we
on.
We want to hire Craigslist roommates.
Wait, what? Wait, you buy something? What's happened to you when you bought something?
I mean, that's just what Craigslist is good for, is just getting nutted on.
Yeah,
that's
like, Craigslist has, I don't know, you guys, when's the last time you used Craigslist?
I mean, that's if I want to get cummed on.
I'm so sorry, everyone listening to this show. So Walter D. Morrow says, the higher up in cost you get for the mercenaries, the more their reputation matters to them. So the less likely it is that they'll turn on you.
I mean, Henry, I think the move here is going to be like deposit in a bank and any reputable institution will have some sort of, you know, escrow service or something. And we just work it that way. We should use the financial institutions that they have in place here.
Listen, I don't think that we need an escort service if we're as good as scamming as the people who might scam us.
Where's in your city with a reputable bank? And I feel like, guys, we need to deposit this and so that we have it in...
So we have like a check to give mercenaries.
Well, you're not going to like this because Payton told me the story of what happened when you left there. But the most reputable bank
in the realms is definitely in Neverwinter.
Hmm. Question about Neverwinter. How bribable are they?
Pin told me that you told him that there was a cult there, and cult people are generally not that bribable.
Here's my thought. The most reputable mercenaries are in Neverwinter. The most reputable bank is in Neverwinter. To your point, the last thing I want to do is march up to Ravenloft with an army that's going to turn tail and run or stab us in the back. That seems like an undue risk.
Yes.
Now, I know we upset some people in Neverwinter vis-a-vis the pyramid, which, again, was not really our fault. We kind of bit off more than we could chew. But here's my thought. Why don't we go to Neverwinter? We'll deposit our money. We'll hire an army of mercenaries. We'll test their mettle against the pyramid. And if they're good enough to roll through the pyramid, we know they're good enough to fight whatever's coming at them at Ravenloft.
That's good. And we get the treasure in the pyramid for some extra money and to pay them more.
Yeah, and we can re-up on the treasure. It's an investment that pays off over the long run like an index fund.
Now, here's the question, though, Henry, because there are some states where the moment you cross state lines, they pick you up and throw us in jail, and we have to forfeit all of our riches, man.
Look, I try to stay out of politics, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm saying anything too controversial when I say that wealthy people have an easier time with law enforcement than non-wealthy people. So I understand your point, Glenn, but I think if we come into this town as men of means, I think we'll be able to make it work. And plus, just on a karmic level, I do feel like we need to balance out some of the sins that, you know, were committed either actively or passively by us. And we should, again, if you want to talk about, like, you know, if we want to leave like a blind trust for Paeden, you know, I think that's great. I also think we should maybe see if there's something we can do to help the people of Neverwinter.
Paeden, who's talking about us giving you some money and I flip him that diamond I took?
So he grabs the diamond out of there and goes, whoa!
Did you just propose to?
Yeah, it's not on a ring. It's just a diamond.
It's just a diamond. You sure? Well, this is a lot.
Don't spend that all at once. And
you're
you got
12,
it.
So
and you got it. You got it. You're gonna.
Walter's
let,
like, you will give that to me. That's
yeah, Walter, you're gonna take care of it, right?
Yeah, I feel like I should probably have
give some of it to the town. Make sure Payton, you know, has taken care of. And
it's
you
like
know,
2,000 gold.
Yeah, I know. This it should work for everything and for everybody.
Yeah, no,
it. Look, that could be taking out my share if that's what happens.
Great, this town will be back on his feet no time. Yeah, for sure.
I think we gotta go to Neverwinter.
Oh, I didn't want to say, Walter. Do you think you could whip up a new rear axle for the Honda Odyssey?
Oh, whoa, what is this thing?
Oh, have we not shown you the Odyssey of Honda?
Wait, he saw this early on.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
No. We pop open the hood, and he sees, for the first time in the Forgotten Realms, a functioning internal combustion engine
what
and
the
all
hell
the
is
requisite
that?
Parts. Hey, Walter.
What the you're fuck
looking
is
the,
that?
You're looking oh, at the guts of the beast. That's what you're looking at.
Oh, my God. It's
Walter,
beautiful.
Walter, you're a man who works with metal. I would say take some sketches here. I think there's something in here that you might eventually make a lot of dough from.
Oh, man. This is everything's coming up, Walter.
So he takes some sketches and he looks at the cracked rear axle. So he goes, "I think I work at this. I think I know what to do here." And he just sort of fixes it, like over the course of 12 hours.
Yeah, it's like a bar.
It's a weld.
I think we should probably head to Neverwinter because let's be honest, if somebody's going to try to take our money based off of what we've done, I think we'll be okay. We'll be able to handle it. So okay.
Well. Walter the Immoral, Payton, we must leave you once again and go find our sons and, you know, hopefully everything works out okay.
Payton isn't around. Walter's just like, yeah, I'll let him know.
Oh, geez, where'd Payton run off to?
Yeah,
I was
Payton
really
go?
Hoping we get to say goodbye to him.
He said it would be, like, really hard to say goodbye to you a second time, so I think he might be just being his... The door to his womb is kind of locked, so
well,
I think he's just been there.
If I were him and I came across people as endowed with riches, I would sneak into their car and just try to follow them and just be as rich as they are. Not saying that he did that. I'm just saying I would want to be rich. But I am rich.
Well, just let him know we said bye. I understand. The boy needs a space. We'll just let him know that we said bye.
Oh, there we go. But yeah, I'll see you guys back around, I guess.
Okay, well, goodbye,
and
Payton!
That's for the park that you're going to build, it's I assume you got a plot or something already picked out for when you get into town back on his feet. It's Glen with two N's. The Glen Close Park for right two ends.
I'll definitely do that, for sure.
Great, perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
Cool. Yeah. I fucking hate that guy.
And he puts another dollar and he puts a diamond in the swear jar. You drive past beautiful groves of trees that are colors that you can't even describe with your words, and fucking I hate doing imagery.
Anthony, that's what people who listen to D&D podcasts are so horny for.
Yeah.
Like, they will...
A Tolkien-esque vacation to another
Anthony,
world.
Anthony, fucking give it to me, man.
All right.
I
so
want
you,
it. I want to fucking picture my
you
brain.
You drive past rivers that smell like chocolate. You drive past...
Chocolate rivers? Hold on. We got to pull over, guys.
Oh, no. This is why you don't do imagery. This is why you don't get fucking sensory details.
We all pee in the river, and then we jump back in the van. We keep going.
Okay. So now the river smells like pee and chocolate. Congratulations. As you pull up to the outskirts of Neverwinter, Ron, you hear a psst.
Yeah?
Psst. Over here.
Oh, never mind.
Wait,
guys.
What? What's up, Ron?
I said, yeah, and then I said, never mind.
Okay.
Oh, okay, Ron. Sounds good. Ron, right?
Ron.
So in the trunk behind you, underneath the pile of clothes, you see a little face poke out, and it goes, it's exactly what you said. the thing that you said, that's what I did.
I pretend to be on my phone, but I haven't, like, rolled or anything. Yeah, that's what I said, because it's a smart plan, because I am super rich and you can be too. And this is a multi-level
market.
I don't care about money. I just like hanging out with you guys. Could you make sure they're not going to like drive me back though?
Oh, of course not. I mean, like, Peyton, you're a rich boy now and rich people can do anything.
I'm not.
Do we roll to see if we eventually hear this conversation?
Yeah. Why don't you roll perception?
I rolled a 16.
Woof.
9.
I rolled a 3. You roll three? I'm in the front window roll down. I'm here in the landscape.
So only Henry, you hear something back.
Hey, Ron, what's going on back there? Who are you talking to?
I'm just practicing my rich voice.
You're practicing? Oh, okay.
Peyton gives you a surreptitious thumbs up like, nice, fuck.
Ron's practicing his rich voice, guys.
Okay. Yeah, that checks out.
I say, I'm rich in family and friends. And then I give Peyton a wink.
Hey, Ron, this one's for you. And I put on Money, Money, Money.
Yes.
Where that song's called.
So how are you handling the approach
to
Neverwinter?
Okay, so paint the picture of when we approach Neverwinter. Because I actually forget, is there like a gated city?
Yes. So there's a gate that used to have the sign of the Doodler on it. You can see from a distance that they just ripped it up. They didn't even rip it down. Somebody just like fucking slashed at it with a sword or some shit.
Neverwinter's the one with a pyramid. That's what happened.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
It feels like the right way to do this is to send an ambassador in and negotiate this out. Do you know what I mean?
Like in the Fifth Element, yeah.
Like in the Fifth Element. You guys saw the Fifth Element, right?
Are you talking? This
is Glenn kind of looking in the distance like, that was a good movie.
So, okay, first of all, I have seen The Fifth Element, and that movie's bullshit. There's way more elements than five elements, and they're all specific types of building blocks of the natural world. And so I just thought that.
But what's the fifth one? Because they don't say it's not there's only five elements. It's just it's signaling out the fifth element.
It's boron, you morons. That's a little geology humor. That's not really geology humor. It's just more like science humor, but that's okay. A classic joke.
Wait, is that what the movie's about, boron?
No, I think it's about like. I just remember Chris Tucker's in it. Anyway, so
I so badly want Peyton to sit up and be like, it's love. The Fifth Element is love.
Okay, so I do think we should approach with caution. Mm-hmm. It feels like maybe a disguise or two is in order. Point of order, how long has it been since we were in Neverwinter?
It's been like a month, basically.
It's been a month. There's no photos. There's no security cameras or anything like that, right?
So on the road up to Neverwinter, you can see a bunch of wanted posters, nailed into trees that are sort of poor doodles of all of you.
Ooh.
The one that is weirdly the most like accurate is Ron, just because of his weird visage. It's just easier to sort of remember. But yeah, you can definitely
see
that.
Fans. They have posters up.
It says, yeah. Wanted dead or alive, 300 gold coin reward.
And we can keep this beast running. And, maybe scream out to them saying we want to talk to the authorities and kind of, parlay a deal.
Yeah,
here.
Call in like the chief of police or something and try and make a deal here.
Yeah, they don't have anything faster than a car. So like.
So we just kind of lay on the horn. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, lay on the horn. Call the neighbors out. See what's up.
I just feel like maybe that'll result in like a big old army of people coming after us and attacking us. So.
I'm rich now and can't afford fancy costumes. I am going to disguise myself as Peyton.
I'm just a little. Oh.
As Peyton?
Yeah, I'm going to. And then Ron turns to the backseat and then it's like trying to engage eye contact with Peyton while, yeah, I'm going to pretend to be Peyton. I can actually do a really, really good Peyton impression because I am an actor.
If we could send in Ron as Peyton and then have him find the chief of police and then do that, that would probably be a little more low key way of doing it.
Well,
than
you
just
guys
blaring
the horn. Pretend to be dead and then they'll bring you in and then you'll be right at the center of the action.
I mean, look, if we're a team here, so if you three want to do that, I just want to know, is deception the key? Like, I'm just a little worried about us being, like, in the middle and being seen, whereas, like, the goal that we want is very simple, which at some point, they're going to know that it's us, and we're going to have to deal with giving them some money and then hiring people here. It's a very simple question. Do we want to call them out here to talk to us, or do we want to risk going in there talking to them? And we're going to go in there talking to them. Do we want to disguise ourselves or send somebody?
Glenn has a spell called Disguise Self.
Oh!
Where I could disguise myself and, like, stroll in and be a sort of third-party emissary.
I think we should do what I believe the teens call a vibe check. And so,
oh, fuck off.
I would suggest that it sounds like Glenn has a way of disguising himself and could maybe do, like, a vibe check on the town and maybe contact the chief of police and be like, hey, I'm an emissary. I represent the Dads. They have a bunch of money. And then once we get a little initial recon info from Glenn, we can figure out a next step in terms of how best to handle the Neverwinter situation.
Okay. I'll admit I'm a little concerned that, you know, Glenn's going to get captured or something. And you
well,
know,
here's
but,
what I'll do. One of you guys, you know, give me your phone. And if something goes bad, I'll send a text message saying, like, shit got rowdy.
Where's
I
your
love
phone?
That rowdy. Well, mine ran out of batteries.
You can have mine. Just don't look at the text messages or the photos.
Henry has a pair of those Apple AirPods. So I give them to Glenn so that we can be on speakerphone with him and he can tell us what's going on.
Perfect.
Great.
Preventing this from being a podcast where one guy talks to one guy.
Legends and Dragons.
All right.
By the way, and just I rolled a 10, so the phone stays on.
Okay, cool.
All right. I'm down for it. I think, you know, maybe give you one of our gems so you can show, you know, that we did indeed come into some wealth. And do your best to kind of get safe passage to go talk to them.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Matt's worried. Matt's like, we could just honk and it'll come out, but let's do it.
All right. So what do you do?
I'm going to cast Disguise Self. Disguise Self lets me make myself, including clothing, armor, et cetera, look like someone else. I've gotten a lot of costumes. I kind of piece together bits and stuff of cloth and what have you. And I would like to look like a standard average traveler entering the town.
Okay.
Now, quick question
in terms of, a man of means, right? Like a guy with a little bit of wealth. What's the foot traffic like going in and out of Neverwinter?
As you approach on foot, the drawbridge lowers. And you see a couple of small caravans of like some haggard looking families leaving, seemingly having packed up all of their shit and trying to go somewhere else. You see like one or two mercenary looking dudes walking into the town, kitted out in far more armor than a person should have on a normal day. Maybe given what you know, they're to try their luck against the thing inside the pyramid.
Oh, it's like become like a depot for adventurers to try and hit the pyramid, huh?
Yeah, it could be.
Interesting.
All right. I'm going to go grab drinks for all of us so we can have some drinks and listen to Glenn. So I go in the back and I open the trunk.
So roll perception with advantage.
15. Oh, plus what perception?
Oh shit. Okay. So you see, as you open the trunk of the Odyssey, you see a rustle of clothes and something move beneath all of those clothes. Like there's something in the trunk.
Guys, there's something in this trunk.
A thief.
An animal. It's pretty small. Could be a small thief.
Okay. Well, maybe see what it is.
All right. I go very slowly. Hey, whoever's in there, if something's in there, watch out. I don't want to hurt you.
Daryl blindly stabs the body. Yeah.
Whatever's in there is just frozen completely.
Oh, I guess there's nothing. I wink at Henry.
Henry gives Daryl a thumbs up.
Oh, no.
What do you think I'm going to do?
No.
What do you think I'm going to do?
The same thing that happened last time you thought somebody was hiding
in a car with a dude.
I thought that too, but I believe you. I want to do that, but he doesn't know his patent, so I'm not going to hotbox what could be an animal or a thief. So I lift up the blanket.
So you see Peyton like frozen there, like
Peyton. Guys, it's Peyton.
You can't see me.
Peyton, what on earth are you doing here, young man?
No, we see you.
It's an illusion. It's an illusion.
I pick him up. Everybody see him?
God damn it.
It's Ron.
That's right. It's me. It's Ron. It's me. I'm Ron Stampler.
And I'm Peyton.
I'm emotionally detached stepdad.
Wait, Ron, did you know he was in there?
No.
I didn't know anything. I'm Ron.
I'm Peyton.
I'm on my own all the time.
Look, we'll talk about this later. I'm very disappointed in you.
You're so strong,
I'm disappointed in you too, Ron. You knew.
I want to hear more of Beth's Peyton impression.
I'm going to go hide my pants. I'm Ron.
I'm going to be a fortunate foster child.
Glenn here is about to risk his life.
I'm fortunate to have found you.
Ron.
I do say that.
All right. Well, Peyton, come up here. Don't hide in the back. We'll talk about this later. Okay. But Glenn's about to... Ron, please stop being painted.
I think the jig's up, Rob.
Okay. We did give him a run for his money. And
like
we have a lot of money.
You were better me than I was you.
Glenn, sorry. I know you must be very stressed out right now. You're about to go in the lion's den.
I can't hear because I'm playing the Limp Bizkit remix of the Mission Impossible theme in my earphones. And I'm like rocking out to it. I'm like, you know, hey, I take off one ear. You know, Fred Durst gets a lot of shit, but this is a fucking great song. Oh, we going? Are we good? Okay, all
right. Here we go.
I've disguised self.
Okay.
I'm going to approach the gate. I'm going to grab one of the posters of the dads on it just to have on me as I'm walking through the gate.
So you walk through the gate and one of the blue coats at the entrance to the city holds out a hand to stop you and goes, what is your business here?
Oh, I'm inquiring about, I can do a cool voice now too. I'm inquiring about the nature of this bounty.
The weird dads? Yeah.
Indubitably.
I mean, they basically killed a bunch of people here. So if you want to like find them and bring them in, we'll give you.
I'd like to have a word with your guard inspector about the nature of this bounty.
Boreanaz? Yeah. I mean, Boreanaz is up in the blue coat precinct. The main blue coat precinct.
Indeed. Indeed.
He's that way. Oh, yeah, you can go talk to him.
Oh, thank you.
You seem fine.
Thank you.
You seem cool enough.
Hey, Glenn, this is Henry. You're doing great. Just keep it up. You're doing a really good job.
So, guys, you heard that, right?
Roll deception.
Just so you know what the mechanics are for this. To discern that you are disguised, a creature can use its action to inspect your appearance and must succeed on an intelligence investigation.
Okay, then never mind, because he had no reason to believe you were lying. So he's not going to investigate you.
I see. Bet Boreanaz will.
But Boreanaz will
find out.
As you re-enter the town proper, you see most prominently by far the massive pyramid that you sort of spawned into existence by throwing the beans the last time you were here. You see a bunch of like construction scaffolding and stuff, like they were trying to maybe destroy the pyramid, but it feels like it's not working because there's no cracks in the pyramid or anything like that. You see some people being carried out of the pyramid on stretchers.
I flag down a nearby local looking person.
Okay. You see an old woman.
Madam, I have a question for
you. What want ye, newcomer?
This pyramid, I've heard tell of it in the tales across the land.
Yes.
To what degree is this a nuisance to this town? How do you feel about it? Like, I'm trying to get, like, what they call a vibe check, if you will.
My vibe is that it's a pain right in the taint. We had a flourishing...
Pain in the taint is a much better turn of phrase. Pain in the taint has a little rhyme to it. It's quite Emily Dickinson, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what a coincidence. That's my name.
Emily.
Yeah, no, we had this nice community going. We all believed in this one thing and bringing it back and changing the world and everything. Everything was great. And then this pyramid came out of nowhere just randomly, just like a roll of Destiny's dice. And it appeared on our doorstep and killed like, you know, a couple hundred people. And now we've got adventurers coming.
A couple hundred people?
Yeah. It's very large.
Daryl makes the sign of the cross. He starts praying.
Henry turns pale. He had not considered how many people were in the tower that got crushed.
Some people tried to make lives for themselves, but with this big thing in the center of the town, it was this constant reminder of the people they lost. So we lost a lot of our population.
What has the local government done about it?
Local government's kind of been in a shambles, really. Like, Boreanaz is our sort of sheriff slash mayor. He was leading us in attempting to bring back the doodler. And, it kind of ruined him because for a while they thought that the thing inside might have been the doodler, but then it started killing a lot of people and we thought, that's not what the doodler does. The doodler doesn't suck people's juices out through their noses. That's odd. And so he's kind of just been planning some other way of maybe bringing him back. I don't know. It kind of just broke him. He's just a shattered remains of what used to be a man, if I can be so bold.
Very well. Thank you, Emily.
No problem at all.
This is weighing heavy on my conscience, fellow dads. The chaos, the pyramid rot, you know, we kind of hightailed it out of there and I never really stopped to... And obviously, you know, we saw the effect it had on CERN, but I didn't really comprehend how it had devastated an entire town. You know, I know they were trying to summon a big bad monster, it sounds like.
Some big bad voodoo daddy.
A big bad voodoo daddy, as it were. But the... I'm sorry. It's just flashback to middle school.
Just awkward dances where it's like, this is the thing we're all dancing to? Okay.
I feel like since it was the forces of chaos unleashed by us that resulted in the devastation of this town, and it was us coming into this world that's caused all these problems, and then it was, again, the forces of randomness that brought this money to us, I kind of feel like we should give the money to Neverwinter so they can rebuild.
Daryl was like, I understand where you're coming from, Henry, but I think that's about you trying to fix your own guilt. Let's not forget that when we came here, they were literally having pits where they kill people. And two, it's like, look, I have no problem donating some money, but we got a lot of stuff going on, including going to another town that probably needs money because, you know, we've heard that Ravenloft's a terrible place. I don't think that we can just throw out our entire plan to save our kids plus take down an evil town called Ravenloft because we feel guilty about something that, yes, we were a cause of, but frankly was also pure chaos and fog of war and all that. It feels a little wild to get rid of all of our money. But hey, you know, your split is your split. If you want to give it to them, you can.
What guys, do you guys want to do?
Guys, hold on. I think we got powwow. I'm heading back.
You don't want to go Boreanaz?
I don't think it's going to do us any good if it sounds like the whole town is set up against us. I can't disguise all of us. It feels like I need to be able to negotiate.
Could you just go?
We could send in Peyton.
Could you just go talk to the mercenaries? Why do we need to talk to Boreanaz? Actually, now that I think about it, why don't you just go find the mercenaries and be like, hey, come meet us outside of town. Let's go hire the mercenaries. Oh, here's a plan. Henry, wouldn't it make you feel better if we got rid of the big demon in the pyramid?
That's true. That would be one way to help.
And there's
them.
A lot of treasure in there.
Yeah, which they could use to rebuild their town.
Yes, and we would still get the mercenaries to go destroy Ravenloft and do a lot of good there and find our kids. It feels like we could all win.
Okay, I could get on board with that, I think, as long as I don't think about it too hard. All right, yeah, I would say then, yeah, we should maybe steer clear of Boreanaz and go contact whoever is the head of, you know, see if there's a mercenary guild we can hire, and maybe we can meet with them outside the town.
Okay. I'm going to go and look for the mercenary guild, like wherever the is there a mercenary part of town or something like that?
So there's a mercenary company called Bad Dogs that are basically in the corner of town. They're one of the few places remaining in Neverwinter that feels as well put together as it was before. And everything else is in chaos. The Bad Dogs are a bastion of consistency amongst all this chaos. It's a very clean building, brutalist architecture, two guards standing outside, looking very confident, great posture. The height of professionalism.
They have brutalism and they have brutalism happen.
It's different though. There's a lot of dead bodies on walls and
okay, so yeah, I'm gonna go in and talk to whoever's manning the place.
When you enter the Bad Dogs Mercenary Guild, there is a guy sitting at the front desk saying, hello, do you have an appointment or
oh yeah, I was looking to hire some man of mercenary.
Okay. Well,
your entire operation, in fact.
Our entire operation. That's
I'd like
great
to speak to your leader.
Ask him how many mercenaries they have.
How many mercenaries do you have here at this operation?
At this particular branch, there are 100 of us. But one of the great things about the Bad Dogs mercenary companies that we have branches all over clandestinely. Like this is the one place you can come and hire us, but we can assemble ultimately Ooh. Depending on when you want us to show up and
this
how
is
and,
like the flagship Whole Foods in Pasadena.
Exactly. We don't like to say exactly how many of us there are, but I'm sure that whatever your needs are, we can meet those needs.
I represent a significant source of wealth, and I'd like to hire many mercenaries.
Oh, okay. Let me go get my boss, Captain Cabbage Patch, and a 7-foot-tall beanpole of a man comes out with a pencil-thin mustache, and he says, Benedict Cabbage Patch, nice to meet you.
Oh, my God.
No!
That name was from Anton Nguyen. Thank you for that name.
I hate that name, and I hate Antoine.
Well, his name's Anton. So.
Oh, Anton. Okay, go, Anthony. Keep doing your Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, my name is Benedict Cabbage Patch.
Benedict.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm now realizing I chose sort of the same voice as
We've
you.
We've added a fifth goofy accent to the episode.
To my repertoire. Benedict. Yes, I'd like to hire you for a significant amount of money. And you and your men.
No, don't say we're going to ask, say how many people we want.
We want a lot of people.
Okay, there you go.
Mention the money again.
What kind of funds are we dealing with? Because we have a sliding scale depending on the severity of the need that you have for
well,
the mercenaries.
Tell me what a lot of this buys. And I pull out the one piece of jewelry that you've given me to sort of show off.
His mustache falls off.
And he says, holy mother of jewelry. Oh, that is at least 2,000 gold coins worth of jewelry. That's,
good eye, my man. That's quite a bit where this came from.
That on its own could be 20 men.
We should get an estimate on how much it would cost to assault Castle Ravenloft.
Also, clarify, he's doing a quick trick where he just said a lie and then he's going to make that normal. He meant 200 men if it's $10 per person.
Oh, sorry, I did the math wrong.
20 men.
Glenn, push back. So you know how much they cost.
I know how much these men cost.
200. I just had to try to play hardball.
I would like to take two estimates from you.
Yes.
How many men do you think it would take to assault this pyramid in the town that's causing so much of a ruckus?
Now, the pyramid, we have taken a very clear stance on. We are not going to invade the pyramid of our own volition. People have requested us. Nobody's been able to afford our rates. We feel that a good, clean 50 men could probably clear out the interior of that pyramid. I hold true to that. And if I'm wrong, there is no money back guarantee, but I will be very embarrassed. That's the Cabbage Patch guarantee.
You can hire my army of Cabbage Patch kids.
Well, but one of the jewels I showed them
so
was
a quarter of a jewel.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And then what about if we were to mount an assault on Castle Ravenloft?
Castle Ravenloft. He grows a new mustache and that mustache. Castle Ravenloft. You wish to siege Castle Ravenloft in Barovia? Well, that would surely require at least... His mustache moves across his face, like migrates up his cheek around his forehead.
The mustache gets off and starts writing equations on the wall.
That's a difficult thing to predict, because when you get into Barovia, that's a land of very dark magics, the likes of which most people do not return from. But as the leader of the bad dogs, I have said no job is too terrifying and no rate is too terrifying. But if we're talking about Castle Ravenloft, where the late Strahd von Zarovich lived, that is a 30-story castle with parapets and a bridge. Only the thing about Castle Ravenloft, as a military man myself, there is only one point of egress. It is an island amongst mountains with only a small land bridge connecting it to the surrounding environs. So that's a very difficult place to assault. It's very easy to defend. If I had my druthers, and oh, would I have my druthers, we would have people coming in from the sky, we would have people ascending from the back using picks to climb the mountain, we would have a main force along the thoroughfare trying to bash down the door. It would be, it would be glorious.
So how much, baby?
And that requires around 500 people.
How do we get this money into your hands, then?
We operate essentially on a 75-25 policy where you pay 75 of the funds up front to an escrow, which then releases to us.
It's a literal crow.
Yeah, it's a crow named S. And it's in the fucking window. You give it to that escrow and he takes it to a bank and they hold it. And then the remaining 25 you pay after the fact, win, lose, or draw. The escrow is to guarantee that if we bug out and don't do the job, which we would never do because we have 100% completion rate, even if not a 100% success rate, that you could get your money back from the crow.
So do we want to do a pyramid or do we want to just go straight for Ravenloft?
I think we got
to
do both. I mean, we have $7 million.
Yeah. 2.2, but yeah, okay.
All right, I think we got a deal. I think
Ron, are you signing off?
Ron, yeah. You're the businessman. What do you think?
Okay.
All right. Look, you got three yeses over here, Glenn.
I want to put the money down to assault the pyramid.
Perfectly. First, I'm just going to need your name. I need you to fill out this form. And so, yeah, he hands you the form. And the first thing it says is name.
I'll put Stevie Nicks.
Okay, so he looks at that and he looks at your face and he goes, you don't seem like much of a Stevie.
Stevie's a what? What do you mean? Stevie's a cool name.
Stevie's a cool name. Okay, there with that definitely. Okay, so he's gonna roll an. What does he have to do? An intelligence check.
A creature can use action inspect your appearance, an intelligence against my spell save DC.
You should have said a fancier name, Glenn.
So what's your spell save DC?
That's 14.
So he goes like, there's something, wait a moment. And then everybody back in the van, you hear static on the comm. And then it suddenly, like,
wait,
it,
what? Glenn!
Cuts out.
Glenn! These stupid AirPods, they short out every time. They're so unreliable.
Can I do like a slinky, like get away type of roll or something? Like a...
Walk into the other room with me.
Okay, hold on.
What is happening?
Clearly he's got caught, but we're not supposed to know what's happening because, yeah, we wouldn't know. So I can narrate for the audience. Anthony has literally snuck into Freddy's bedroom, and now they are talking about what happened between Glenn and the mercenaries. So.
He come back and you're
all right,
like,
they're back.
Okay. You're okay. Like,
so
no.
Yes, Freddy will email me the results of his role.
Okay.
So we'll keep that away from everybody else.
Okay.
So. All right. So wait, the static cut out in the van.
So the static cut out. And after, you all know. Right,
what happened to Glenn? Glenn, are you there?
Payne's like, I can go out and get him. Do you
no,
need
no,
to get
Payne,
him?
Stay right here.
Stay where you are. Right. Stay where you are. Everyone stay calm.
Okay, so after what feels like way too long of like waiting and keeping you in suspense, you hear fists like beating on the door.
Of the van?
Yeah.
Guys, Glenn.
Glenn!
What happened, my God. Dude? The AirPods cut out. Like, we lost contact.
Oh, yeah, man. You got charged these. So, good news and bad news.
Okay.
They know who we are. That's the bad news.
Yeah, I expected that would happen.
But the good news is, since they're dirty mercenaries, all they care about is money. So we just got to pay a little bit extra and they'll keep their mouth shut.
So hey, so climb,
which we got plenty.
So what did
I rolled high. I rolled high.
You rolled high. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, they just want that down payment. They got the escrow here to like take it and we're ready to assault. So like, where are we keeping these things?
Well,
how much
are they going to take for it?
They just want 3 jewels.
3 jewels?
For everything?
Dang, Glenn, good job, man.
Well, yeah,
wow, like, Henry's genuinely impressed that this went well.
So I'm going to walk to the back and like knock on the back to like open the trunk.
I guess open the trunk for him.
Right, which you can do automatically. There's a button to your left if you're in the driver's seat.
I know how the Odyssey works. I roll down the side window by accident first and I go, oh, shit. And then I open up the back.
No, you probably open the side door accidentally because those buttons are next to each other.
So do we all need to go or just what's the deal?
No, guys, I got this. I'll be the sort of representative of the group. So I'm going to get the jewels and walk away.
Okay, well, all right, let us know how it goes, I guess. Do we wait here? What do we do?
And then moments later. Guys! You guys got champions! Guys, they're after us! They figured it out! We gotta go!
No. Ben, we just saw you! What happened?
What do you mean you just saw me?
I just saw Glenn just knocked on the door!
As you say that, I just saw you. Your phone rings.
No! Is it my phone?
Yeah, you're Ron, your phone rings.
Ron's phone, Ron speaking.
Thanks for the jewels, sucker!
Dungeons & Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, and myself, Freddie Wong, as Glenn Close. Theme song and outro is All Right by Maxton Waller. Thanks this week to Eileen Klaus, Paul Crevassier, and Anton Nguyen for their contributions of names that we used in this episode. Special thanks also to our Patreon supporters, Maria Laredo, Fred Genier, if you're French. If you're not French, I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong. Matthew Nolan, Jeffrey Harris, and Murray M. Moss, just one of the many people putting the team on their back and helping support this podcast through our Patreon, which is at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. Now, our Patreon folks already know this, but as you heard at the top of the episode, our merch store is now finally open. Yay! We have a selection of 5 fine enamel pins for sale now at dungeonsanddaddies.com, or if you prefer, ron.business. We got Rock's Rock pin, a hot dice flaming D20 pin, a thing of Ron hiding in his pants. Why are you still listening to me describe things? They're pictures. It's so much easier to just look at the pictures. You can see those pictures at dungeonsanddaddies.com and click on the merch button at the top of the page. So if you want to support the podcast but aren't ready to commit to a monthly thing like the Patreon, have a look at our merch store and see if there's anything there that tickles your fancy. We are at Dungeons and Dads on Twitter, bit.ly/dungeondads for that private Facebook group, r/dungeonsanddaddies for that subreddit. Next episode is coming at you December 10th. Happy Thanksgiving to all the Americans listening. And to all the Americans listening, if you have a frozen turkey, it's like Tuesday. You need to be defrosting that like yesterday. You got to get on that. Come on, man. In any case, thanks for listening. We'll see you December 10th.
There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down.
Maybe we should also kick some to start like an orphanage for all the kids.
Glenn, right here, man. I go for a big hug.
Yeah, we could call it the Glenn Close Academy for Needy Children.
You know, that's fine. It was your idea.
And there could be a big statue out front of me, like wailing on the guitar. And the kids will be like, oh, what's that instrument? And then all the kids, they have to sign a contract, which says that I get a portion of any royalties they eventually receive.
So, okay, Aaron and Anthony both say, so what do you want to do?
Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by Mint Mobile.
It is?
Oh, wait,
we're Ryan. We love you. We missed you. We're sorry.
We may have stepped out on you in
international. I don't believe that Ryan has a cell phone because he would have called back at this point.
Hey, listen, Ryan, you told me all about those overpriced wireless providers and how there's always a catch. Well,
and we got 5 tickets to a certain movie coming out soon.
That's Ryan. When I heard that Deadpool v. Wolverine was coming out, I called all my friends on their Mint Mobile accounts.
Oh, I was talking about Challengers. I'm so excited about that tennis movie.
I'm sure Ryan would love to watch it with you.
Yes.
Mint Ryan, Mobile, call us. I said to my friends, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I thought, what's the catch? But there isn't one, you fool. Mint Mobile secret sauce, they sell wireless service online, which means that they don't have retail stores, they don't have to buy those kiosks in malls, and they pass those sweet mall savings directly on to you. I have Mint Mobile on my phone. I duo queue it. I got multiple lines. It's great.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And by the way, I'm more often than not, honestly, my normal phone is kind of like not as good service.
How many phones do
you can have? Hey, modern phones allow you to put multiple.
Stepping out on us with other podcasts.
Oh my gosh. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans. Jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue
you. 20's calling
you
on that other cell phone.
With premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month.
Freddie, we want you back.
All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan like me and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/dungeons. That's mintmobile.com/dungeons. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/dungeons.
That was a great ad read, Daddy. Can you read it again?
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower, above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life?
All the moms.
The moms, the MILFs.
How come none of these
moms
packets?
I'd like to frame.
Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame.
Hey, Aura, challenge accepted on unlimited photos.
Unlimited. You can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. For Mother's Day, that's your great Mother's Day gift. You know what I mean? Just send her some pictures of you doing stuff. From grandmothers to new mothers. Well, no, like activities. From grandmothers to new mothers.
Activities we're talking about here.
Aunts and even the friends in your life. Every mom
even the
loves
friends.
And named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. There's a lot of things that can bring joy to moms of all ages.
Nice.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code DUNGEONS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.